Praise the Lord. I have today what I would say is a very simple thought. Amen. But you know what? I like simple. Amen. The Word of God is not difficult. Amen. Doing God's will is not difficult. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to start out and read verse 9 and 10, and I'm going to go back to this portion and read some more in a little bit. Thank you, musicians. Praise the Lord. Glad you're here. Amen. Brother Tony Gomez gave me some. This is not having to do with my sermon. Little late announcement. Brother Tony Gomez came over and helped me process some hot peppers. If you are interested in something spicy, come and see me. I might have something for you. Praise the Lord. After church, of course. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. It says this. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive. Someone say, I perceive. Amen. It's special. And we're going to get into that. I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. I perceive. Amen is my topic. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We are asking together in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, that there would be those of us that would perceive today. Lord, that we would comprehend. Lord, that we would understand. Lord, your leading for this service. God, that you would touch our hearts. Lord, that you would anoint our minds. Lord, that your perfect will would be accomplished, Lord, here in this house and this people today. Lord, have your way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. This story contains some more verses. Let me go back to Scripture, and I want to read some more here in this portion of Scripture, 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to begin with verse number 8 and then go on and read some additional portion. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. Someone say great woman. You know, what makes us great is in the sight of God. Amen. Some people think they're great, and they ain't so great. Some people think other people are great, and perhaps they're not so great. But if God thinks you're great, you are great. Amen. Praise the Lord. Elijah passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And it was so that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. So he had eaten at her house, sounds like, more than once. He had come by there regularly. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither and turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaiden. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. It was a miracle. They had a baby. Amen. They were childless. Husband was old. It seemed like it was a serious situation. It was out of their control. There was no way they could fix it. And they had a child. Amen. Now, I'd like to talk about this woman for just a little bit, considering the modest commendation of women in the Old Testament. It didn't very often exalt people to the great, especially women, to be identified as being great. And yet the Old Testament says that this woman was great. The Old Testament has often little to say about women. Women are not usually held in this high regard. In fact, men are not normally held in this high regard. But she was identified as a great woman. Her commendation, it was not predicated, or it wasn't because of her power that didn't make her great. It wasn't because of her posterity or her how prosperous she was. It wasn't because of her position in the community or in the country. It was not because of her prestige. It was her unique, distinct position was relative to what the Bible called, get this, perception. She perceived. Amen. She perceived. She was blessed with an unusual insight. Some would call it an intuition. Others may say it was her understanding. But the scriptures say she perceived. I pray that we would perceive the things of God. Amen. We, on Friday night, went to the district prayer meeting. Brother Rima Duncan was preaching. And just the little portions of what he had to say was, we got to hear from the Word of God. Amen. No matter what goes on in the world, we don't need to hear what's in the world. We need to hear what God says. We got to hear, we got to understand, we got to perceive, if you will, God and His will in our life. Amen. That, my friend, will make you great. Amen. If we will perceive, if we will do what God has for us, in God's sight, it will make us great. Amen. This woman, she had this insight, this intuition, this understanding. She did perceive about the man of God. You know, there are special gifts that some In fact, probably very many women have, that most men do not possess. Sad to say. They're beautiful, and they have perception. Amen. This woman had a very special gift of perception. She could perceive. Amen. Women often possess the ability to perceive things that men are not tuned into. Kind of thick-headed. Just sometimes I don't get it. Walk into the room, something's different. Did that in my daughter's living room the other day. I walk in to get Rachel. She's coming to my house. We're going to watch her for the day. And something's different. The dog's not here. No. The crate was gone. The couch was moved. Everything was rearranged. Oh, I'm very perceptive. Something changed. And then there's other times I wouldn't even know that everything was different. I'm just not always that perceptive in certain things. But I do want to perceive God. I want to be sensitive to know what God is doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Husbands, when your wife says, "I do not feel comfortable about this," you better pay attention. You better listen to what she has to say. Because she is perceiving something that you may not yet understand. Amen. My advice is to pay attention to the perception. Amen. It is very obvious as you go. I've been to many United Pentecostal churches, and I've been to some other non-United Pentecostal churches. And as you follow around the distinction, let me narrow it down into churches that believe what I believe. Churches that believe in Jesus Christ is the holy living God, that He is our Savior and King, and that He is the one that we have to be baptized in the name of Jesus, and He is the one that forgives sin, and He is the one that pours out His Spirit, and He is the holy. I'm talking about churches that believe like that. Okay? Even in those special churches, and they are special because of that belief, even among fellowshipping churches that I love, there are differences. And the difference is often perception. What they perceive makes their ministries, their churches, their people different. This church has a unique personality. There's no other church that you'll go to anywhere on earth that is just like this church. Amen. Amen. And, you know, praise the Lord, I believe this church is special. Amen. I believe this church is wonderful. God does give anointing to people in this church. And that makes you special. Praise the Lord. But there are also, while some people and churches are surviving, there's others that are thriving. While some in the church or some churches or some people are increasing, there are others that are decreasing. There are some that are celebrating the joy of victory. Others are in the bondage of the depressing grip of defeat. And there is a reason why the big get bigger and the small many times get smaller. There is a reason why the blessed get more blessings And the struggling continued to struggle. I'm going to tell you where the difference is and how you can change your position in God's spiritual economy. In a very interesting scripture, Jesus said, in Mark chapter 4, verse 25, "For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." The haves are going to have more, and the have-nots are going to have less. But if you pause for just a moment, and you back up just one verse of Scripture, verse 24, the verse right before this, he says there, verse 24, "And he said unto them, take heed what you hear, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given." But you got to hear what the voice of God says. Amen. You got to have perception of what God is doing. You got to perceive what God wants you to do and then do it, and you will be blessed. Some people, and me many times, often in my life, I have been in the place of being a hard head. It just didn't sink in the first time. Maybe I had to, hear it more than once. But man, you want to listen to what God says. You want to listen to the Word of God. Amen. Proverbs chapter 31 mentions the praise and the properties of the virtuous woman. Proverbs 31 verse 29 says, "Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all." Next verse. "Thou excellest them all." You see, she perceived that her merchandise was good. Her perception is what allowed her to be in another category. Her perception took her from the mundane and the mediocre and the commonplace to where it is said of her, "Many folks have done well, but you excel them all." The cry of Nehemiah chapter 6 is being repeated today. Nehemiah heard, "Come down from the wall." See, he was on a great mission. He was in the process of building the wall. He was in a great ordeal before God. How many times have, or how often perhaps, have you heard somebody say, in it, maybe not exact words, but, "Get off of it. Come down from that high place. Come down from the wall." And it goes on, "Come down and meet us in the plain," get this now, "of Ono." Sanballat and Gisham said, "Come meet us in Ono. Come down from the wall and meet us in Ono." Nehemiah sent back his answer, "I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down." His perception of who he was and what he was doing kept him on the wall. If you do not get perception, if you do not perceive what it is that you're doing for God, perhaps you'll come down. "Oh, it's not important that you go to church. Just do this other thing on Sunday." No. I'm in a great work. I belong to a great church. I serve a great God, and I will not come down. Amen. You got to have perception. There are too many people that agree willingly to go down into the plane of Ono. Too many Pentecostals that are living in a spiritual element where everything is a plane of oh no. Oh no, not another prayer meeting. Oh no, not another offering. Oh no, not another revival. Oh no, not another 3-day fast. You know what? January is coming. We're going to ask you to fast. Get this. First 10 days of January. How about this? Pick out which ones you'd like to fast, but fast 5 days. We've done 3 days many times in our church. But it's time to add on. It's time to do some more than what we've did before. It's time to start the new year a new way. And in the first 10 days of January, I'm asking our church, you pick what days you want, but pick 5 days and set aside some time for God. Amen. Some people are thinking right now, oh no. Oh no. Not another message on holiness. God wants us to be holy. He is holy. Amen. We need to get out of the plane of oh no and live in the supernatural. Oh yes. Oh yeah. We need to have an oh yes perception, not an oh no. The great woman of our text perceived a plan. I believe that this may have been the first reference to an evangelist quarters. But she made the place for the man of God to come by anytime he wanted. In fact, she wanted to make it so convenient that he would come by frequently. Amen. That he would stop by there every time he came near. Amen. She said, we need to build a little chamber for the man of God who comes by here continuously. This woman perceived a plan. She said, honey, well, this is not a quote from Scripture, but I do not know what you are thinking, but we have a very intimate need. They had no child. There is something that was in their life that was, you know, it caused them shame. They were childless. And at that time, it was a shame not to have a child. There was something that they could not fix on their own. You know, there may be something in maybe at least one person's life in this place that you cannot fix the problem that you have. Maybe it's a place that problem is out of your control. Amen. But you know what? God is able to fix your problem. Amen. God is able to fix your embarrassment. She said, I feel that this man who comes by here has something to do with our answer. The Holy Ghost is saying the key is awakening to perception. I hope that our church would wake up and perceive what God would have us to do. Amen. One of the greatest revelatory statements in the Bible is when Peter stood up and he perceived. Prophecy is being fulfilled. This is that which was spoken by the Old Testament. The Holy Ghost was being poured out and he perceived. This is God moving in our midst. Amen. You got to perceive that God is near. There has been people, and I don't really understand how. Amen. Sometimes the moving of the presence of God is so strong and it's so prevalent. It is so real. It is tangible. You can feel it in your heart. It moves in your body. It consumes your mind. And it is totally wonderful and glorious. And in that environment, in our church, there has been those that sat back unmoved. Because they did not perceive that God was in this place. Amen. We got to have a perception, amen, about God being in this place. Amen. Elisha, you see, he had passed by that place many times. And at that time, they had not yet added on to their house. He passed by that spot because it was in the place of where he traveled. And the great woman that is in our text perceived a plan, enticing the man of God to stop by. She engineered something like a magnet to draw him to come near. Amen. She said, I'm going to set there a candlestick or a bed. Amen. That's key. I'm going to set there a bed and a stool and a candlestick. And she was already feeding him when he came by. She wanted to do whatever it took to draw him into that place. She was engineering the place that he would come often there. And he would stop and he would stay. It's almost as if she wanted him to think he cannot help but come by and stay here. Amen. You see, I want to engineer in this church, in our midst, right here with this people, a place where God will come and stay. Amen. A place where it's normal to feel the presence of God in this place. Amen. In Psalm 65 and verse number 1, David, you see, he had insight. He said, praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. Amen. You know what? Praise is going to go up from this place unto Jesus. Amen. The reason why we gather in this place is not to look at your nice clothes. Oh, your clothes are very nice. Thank you very much. They're wonderful. Your smiling face is so pleasant and it is so welcoming. I'm glad to see your smiling face. But you know what? That's not why we came. We come to praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We come to praise Jesus. Amen. You see, I want to encourage this to be a place that God comes and stays. Amen. Jesus, you're always going to have praise in this house. If there's anything that if I got to be the only one, there is going to be a praise in this house unto you. Amen. I'm going to encourage it. Ben, raise your hands and love God, would you? Brian, would you raise your hands and love the Lord? Amen. Would you do it with me? Would you praise Him with me? Can I encourage you to praise the Lord? Magnify God. He's worthy to be praised. I want to do everything that I can to encourage praise in this house, to encourage worship in this house. Amen. There's going to be a hallelujah in this house. There may be someone that will dance and praise the Lord in this house. There may be someone that will scream, Hallelujah! In this house. Amen. There's going to be somebody clapping their hands and raising their fists. There's going to be someone jumping up and down in this house. Amen. Praise the Lord. There is worship waiting for you, Jesus, in this house. Amen. I want to make it inviting for God to want to dwell here. Amen. You see, there is nothing like being invited somewhere. When you get there, you feel welcome. You know, it's pretty special. I've been invited a few different places. And when you get there, you open up you check in at the counter at the hotel. And, oh, we have a gift bag here from your host. We'd like you to have that. And you get up into the room and there's a note on the bed that welcomes me by name, or so glad that you came and that you're here. You know, you feel welcome. And in the gift bag, there's a Snicker bar. Oh, how did they know? Oh, man, it just made me feel so welcome. Amen. There's some other things in there, too, that my wife likes, but praise the Lord. Just makes you feel welcome. You know, I want God to feel welcome in this place. Amen. I want Jesus to be familiar with this place. Praise the Lord. You know, there was going to be in that place for Elisha candlestick. And there was going to be that bed and the stool. And she was trying to make it comfortable for him to come by there. In Mark 11, verse 11, Jesus entered in Jerusalem. And this is related here. Jesus is entering into Jerusalem and into the temple. Jesus is going into the temple. He did go into the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things, he took in everything that was there. He was in the church building, in the temple. And now the eventide was come, and he went out into Bethany with the 12. You know, there would be some that would read that verse of Scripture and say, well, okay, he went to Jerusalem, he went into the temple, that's not unusual. And then he went to Bethany, that's where his friends were, and that's not unusual. Do you want to talk about here, Pastor, in this verse? Jesus entered into the temple. The Scripture states that he looked around about at all things. You know, it is possible you could go into a church house, into a church building, and look all around and see what's going on and not feel the presence of God. Depends on what's going on there. There is a tragedy in this verse of Scripture, in this story. He looked around and he left. He stepped into the temple and he looked at all the things that were there and he left. Either there was something going on there that he did not like, or there was something that should have been going on there that was not going on there. But either way, it was not right. He just turned around and he left. I do not want him to look around Apostolic Lighthouse and just leave. That can't happen. That can't be so. It's not possible. It would be a tragedy. It would be more than unfortunate. It would be terrible if we came to church and we didn't feel God's presence. It would be awful if we came to church and the presence of the Lord was not prevailing in that place. Amen. You see, when His presence goes, miracles go. When His presence goes, healing goes. When he leaves, revival goes. I do not know what he saw. Scripture is not detailed enough and doesn't tell us what was going on. But he turned around and he left. There is a clue here in Scripture. It doesn't say what he did see. But he left. He went. The Bible says he went to Bethany. He looked and he thought, this is not a friendly environment for me. I'm not staying here. I'm leaving and going to be with my friends. He went to Bethany. Bethany was where his close friends lived. Mary lived there. Martha lived there. Lazarus lived there. I promise you, he is going to where his friends are. Amen. Mary is a type of a worshiper. Martha is a type of a worker. And Lazarus is a witness, a type of a witness. Jesus will not stay where he is not worshiped. Amen. We need to have worshipers in the house of the Lord. We need to have workers in the house of the Lord. We need to have witnesses in the house of the Lord. You see, when he looks around, he's going to see what's going on. Amen. He needs to see the worshipers and the workers and the witnesses. Amen. He needs to see what the people of the church are doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need a church that has the hands of Martha and the heart of Mary and the mouth of Lazarus. Lazarus. The Shunammite woman said to her husband, the call of the Spirit is right now. The Spirit says it's time to add on. They already had a house. They already had a kitchen. They already had a place to sleep. They had everything they needed. But the Shunammite woman, it's time to add on. The Holy Ghost is saying to the apostolic church, you know what? I believe God has already given us great gifts. He's already done great things in our church. He's already done great things in your life. But it's time to add on. Amen. The Holy Ghost wants us to add on His will. It's not time to leave. It's time to add on. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning there to read at verse number 5. And beside this, and I've used this verse recently in preaching, but I'm going to read it again. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and I preached about that recently, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Amen. Don't get complacent and, oh, I've got enough. No, God wants us to add on. Add on. Add on. Someone, at least one person, say, add on. If you have believed, and I believe everybody here has, add on. There's some people that need to repent.
Maybe you made a mistake. Well, then add on repentance. If you have already repented, add on to repentance water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Everybody needs to be baptized in Jesus' name. Add on baptism to your faith, to your belief, to your walk with God. Add on. Now, there are those, many here have already been baptized in Jesus' name. Then add on the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues and the presence of God. Add on. If you have already spoken in tongues, if you have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, well then add on to that Holy Ghost the revelation of the mighty God in Jesus Christ, who He is. If you already know who God is, and there's many here that do, if you know who Jesus is, add a godly lifestyle. Add holiness to your walk with Him. Amen. If you are already living, you've had this revelation, you are living a godly life, then add evangelism. Amen. Help someone else find this truth. Add on, add on, add on. Scripture states that Samuel grew on. Scripture states that David went on. Scripture states that Paul said, "Let us go on." This little woman said to her husband, "Let us add on." The call, the challenge of the Spirit is to add on. You see, there are these that have accepted the challenge, and they distinguish themselves by uncommon characteristics and being willing to come out of their personal comfort zone and add on. Praise the Lord. You see, God sees it so much differently than mankind sees it. Amen. I'm grateful that Job Corps folks have finished programs and they're moving on. But don't stop. You got to add on. Amen. Keep living for God. Amen. Keep living for God. Amen. God wants us to add on. How about the woman that was going to gather a couple sticks because she was going to cook the little bit of meal and that little bit of oil for her and her son. They were going to have their last meal and then they were going to die. Elisha said, "That's fine. Gather your sticks. Make your meal. But make me a little cake first." You know, she agreed to add on feeding this man of God. That she made a place for the things of the kingdom of God in her life. And because she made a place for the kingdom of God to be fulfilled in her life, they got to have supper too. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day, amen. And the next week, and the next month, and the next year. Now, don't you think that lady, when she was reaching into that barrel, now she knew she was making her last meal 6 months ago. She'd reach into that barrel, the cup, plank, all the way down to the bottom. Clank, clank, clank. All right. Scrape, scrape, scrape. Get right in the corner of the bucket. I got a cup full of... Let's make another cake. The next day... You know, she wasn't skimming off the top. That barrel wasn't full. She wasn't just taking the extra. Every single day, she was reaching down way to the bottom of that bucket. Scrape, scrape, scrape. In the corner of the can... I got another cup of meal. I'm going to make me a cake. You know what? Maybe your bucket is not overflowing. Go ahead. Scrape down to the bottom of the barrel and make God make a place. She made a cake for the man of God first, and God supplied her need. Amen. Musicians, would you come? You know what? In a crowd this size, you know, there's more than two or three folks here. There's needs of every different kind, every different size, every type of imaginal. I don't even have a great enough imagination to know what all things are going on in the lives of this many people. But God has the answer to every need. Amen. If you will reach right down, maybe it's at the bottom of your bucket. Clank goes the cup. Scrape on the bottom. But when you bring that out, there's enough right now to give a portion to God. And God will meet your need. Amen. I say this with a straight face. I'm absolutely convinced that my God does not lie. His word is absolutely true. Yes, it is. Amen. Add on. There's some people that are really busy. Perhaps from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, you are racing through life and you are so busy. Well, you know what? Don't be so busy that you can't add God into your life. Amen. Add something of God into your life today. Stand with me. If you need to repent, you need to repent. Ask God to forgive you today. Add that on to your life. Add on your relationship with God here in this service. If you've not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, I see the heater is plugged in. That means the water is at least, I think it's warm. You could be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Add that on to your spiritual walk, and you will not be sorry. Amen. Add on receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Add on a holy life. Add on your walk with Him. Amen. Whatever it is you need, come on right now and add it on. This altar is open. We're going to sing. We're going to pray.